This is the Alan and Carly podcast.
Hello and welcome to the podcast intro. In the studio this time, Carly. I went rogue and did it by myself because we forgot to do it in the studio. And when I say we forgot, I forgot.
Yesterday?
Yeah, we didn't do it.
Did we?
Yeah, we forgot. And you were in a meeting, so I just did it myself in the office.
Oh my God. That's an oversight. Jeez.
Yeah. Well, I'll wear it. Normally it's me that reminds us, but I just forgot.
Oh, you know? Well, I'm glad we remembered today.
Bit of bloody Monday-itis, you know what I'm saying, mate?
Really was.
Alpha Lux, for your Wednesday, your letter is R for Roger.
Okay, Roger that.
Roger. You know what? Very gettable tomorrow. Very gettable.
I like the sound of that.
Something with battery starting with R.
Rechargeable. Oh, no, sorry.
You want to continue
that? We're not just doing a word association
game.
No,
we're not. No. Something with battery starting with R.
Rabbit.
As in like a vibrator?
Well, that's honestly, it's what came to mind.
Well, I don't know if that
and
would
that
be the
was,
answer.
And that was, I can thank the Mardi Gras crew for that one.
Yep.
Because
well, it was me that got that answer correctly. Word and
what
all.
Else is there?
Remote control. You freak.
I feel so exposed. Say remote control.
Yeah.
Not that it's quicker, but it's
more appropriate.
More appropriate.
I'll take rabbit. And people have heard that about me. But just say remote control.
Remote control. Is there any others?
No, just that.
Oh, okay.
Not rechargeable either. We won't accept that.
No.
Well, I think that's where we'll leave it, right?
Yeah. Oh, can we not end it on an awkward note?
That'd be a nice change, but fortunately not.
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
Carly's conspiracies.
So you believe in these kind of things?
Now, normally this segment is like for aliens, for ghosts, for witchcraft, but today it's about
Kate
the royals.
Middleton. Yes, yeah. So let's break it down. So this has been dominating a lot of headlines, and the reason this comes under the Carly's Conspiracies banner is because they are flying around like crazy. So I know this goes against Carly's Conspiracies, but I'm going to drop some facts and timelines on you that led up to why people are basically coming up with their own conspiracy theories as to where Kate Middleton is and what is going on. So the last time we saw her in public was Christmas Day, leaving a church service. So that was December 25th. Then fast forward to January 17th, when the palace announces that she underwent abdominal surgery. Then January 18th, Prince William visits her at the hospital. Then Jan 29th, after a two-week stay, they actually come out and say that she's making good progress. Now, that's where things start to get fishy, because in the past, they have never really commented on health issues. That's kind of been a general royal rule.
Okay.
So that's when people start to go, oh, that's a bit iffy. They're giving us a lot more details than what we need. Fast forward to Feb 29th, and we're getting more information. So essentially, because people have started questioning the information, they've actually come out and said, we're not going to be giving you any more information, only significant updates. Now, giving an update or no update, that's fishy in itself. March 4th. Then she's photographed in the passenger seat of a car alongside her mother. Now, keep in mind, we haven't seen her since Christmas Day, which is very unusual for a royal. So people are going, whoa, that's a huge jump in the timeline. Now there's questions over that photo because apparently she was moleless.
Sorry, she was what?
So she's very known for having a mole above her lip, which is a gorgeous little beauty spot.
Okay, I got one too.
It was missing. I don't know if that had something to do with the surgery. Not sure. But people were saying maybe it's not Kate.
Okay.
Now, let's fast forward to March 5th, when the British Army removes its claim that she will actually be attending the Trooping of the Colour event on June 8th. Now, the timelines are jumping here because they're like, whoa, is she already getting taken off events June 8th? What is going on here?
Yeah.
Let's take it back to March 10th, because this is where all the speculation ramped right up. So essentially, they released this photo. Now, I think this was released to kind of squash all of the where is she and what's going on, so we can have photographic evidence on her. But oh boy, did it ramp it up. So what happened was they released this photo, and most people have probably seen it by now. It was horribly photoshopped. There were parts of it that were blurry. There were clear things that were photoshopped to the point where the palace broke royal protocol and actually issued a kill on the photo. Now, that sounds very extreme. Photo, yeah. And it is. So, the Associated
<Take her out. laughs>
the Associated Press, which are like a legitimate press organization, actually retracted the photo. This is where people start going into overdrive. What is going on here? What, you know, is happening? And then March 8th, Kate herself through a statement says, like many amateur photographers, I do occasionally experiment with editing. Boom, she's admitted the photos were edited. Not even the Kardashians do that. I wanted to express my apologies for any confusion the family photograph we shared yesterday caused. Now, the big moment in the photo was the lack of wedding ring. What is going on, Kate? What's he
done? But didn't
done?
She say William took the photo? She credited him.
William did not take that photo.
But that's what it said. It had a little credit
Alan,
for him.
Don't be so naive. You're embarrassing yourself. It's Carly's conspiracies. So,
Jesus Christ.
So right now, where are we at?
Where is she at?
We don't know. All we know is we're getting a lot of mixed messages from the palace. And the thing is that's very sus about this is the palace have spoken more than they usually do, which means that they're saying too much. You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't. And doesn't it say that she's going to resume her royal duties like in 2 weeks? So just calm your farm
and
wait till
then.
Well,
we don't know that yet because the timelines keep changing.
No, but it said that she was going to resume after Easter.
Yeah, but why is she not going to be at Trooping of the Colour on June 8th? That is a huge royal event that typically, and they've now retracted that she's going to be at it. So people are saying, what is going on? Now, I just hope that Kate is well, and I don't really appreciate all the speculation.
Can we share the conspiracy I share with you guys this morning?
What?
Well, I my theory is she got a bad haircut in January, and she's growing it out. She got bangs, made a horrible mistake, and she's growing it out.
We actually got visuals on Kate this morning, breaking news.
How's her hair?
Hair's not bad, but we don't know if it's a wig or not, do we?
No, we don't. So I'm just saying, maybe it's
that. We didn't get close enough. There's a very grainy photo of her in the car with Wills.
With Wills or Wheels?
Wills.
Okay.
That's what I call him. But anyway, we don't know what's happening. We don't know where Kate is. Stay tuned. The conspiracy theories are flying.
Or wait till 2 weeks when she makes her public appearance like she's meant to.
Or will she?
Will she?
We'll find out.
Will? She's married to Will.
I don't know if she is. The wedding ring's not on there.
Wait. I'm having my own conspiracy moment. Red string. Kate rhymes with fate. Date. She will not... No, I don't know. This is crap. She'll be in 2 weeks. She'll be fine. It'll be fine.
I hope she's fine. I do. But we don't know that.
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
Carly, I just want to quickly spitball on here.
Yeah.
While we've got the moments before the 7 o'clock news. Coming up very soon for me is my 20-year anniversary with my wife. So that means we would be married for 10 years, together for 20 years.
The pressure's on because I feel like that's just such a lovely milestone that you want to really, like when you're, you know, old and your child's grown up, you want to talk about your 20th anniversary.
That's true. And this will be like last one before it's like there's three of us, right? Yeah. Well, there's Winston. There's always Winston. But my plans, and I had plans. I'd organized this way in advance. Have all gone to poop because of one pop group. And that group is Aqua. I'm a Barbie girl in the Barbie world. Aqua!
Okay, what have they done besides release lots of bangers?
You're not wrong, actually. But let me tell you, Carly, if I could turn back time... I wouldn't have included them in my anniversary celebration. So they were coming to Perth March 28th, which is the anniversary date for Jula and myself.
Congratulations.
So I thought, you know what? This is perfect. Jula loves Aqua. I love Aqua.
Yep.
RAC Arena. This is going to be great. A sit-down venue because at that point, Jula will be like, I don't know, 23 weeks pregnant.
Oh, that's very important.
Right? I got an aisle seat lined up for her. This is going to be incredible. Bought the tickets. A group of us from work were all going to go. That bit I didn't love, but you know, what can you do? And it was going
to
be...
That's not the most romantic way to spend your anniversary.
But I had organized a dinner beforehand, and then so it was going to be RAC Arena, Aqua, a bunch of other acts as well, including E17, Two Unlimited, all these sort of acts.
Living your best 90s pop dreams.
What could go wrong? Well, what went wrong is Aqua, because they changed the dates. They brought back the lineup, so no longer E17, it's just Two Unlimited and Aqua, at Metro City. There's no seats at Metro City, and it's going to be a week earlier. So originally,
they literally turned back time.
They turned it all back on its head, because originally on the 28th of March, the next day was Good Friday, so Jewel and I could have a late one, and then not have to go to work the next day.
Yeah, because that's a Thursday night, right?
So now it's a week earlier on the Thursday.
Oh, man. That is like that's like my hell.
Julia has already said no to a lot of things during the week because she's like, oh, no, Alan, I need to at least get my 8 hours
also,
sleep.
Also, she's going to be heavily pregnant by then.
Yeah.
I don't think you should drag her along to that.
But I don't, what, this is.
And also, now you have to figure out a better plan for your anniversary.
Exactly. Aqua! I bought us matching shirts with Aqua on them and stuff. Oh. I had all this like kind of corny but lovely kind of stuff to surprise her on the day. I hadn't even told her about Aqua. I was going to surprise her on the day with the news. I had a restaurant all booked in.
So what are you going to do now?
I don't know. I don't know. Call Dr. Jones maybe? I don't know.
Sounds like your anniversary needs reviving because, yeah, you're going to have to come up with, I mean, you can't do nothing. It's the 20th anniversary.
I got 2 weeks.
But also, if you don't, like, if you drag her to Aqua on a Thursday night and she has to work the next day, yeah. She's heavily pregnant, yep. You're going to be still fighting at that 20-year anniversary.
I agree.
I don't envy your position.
Aqua, you're dummy dirty.
What's sister to sister doing?
They're there on Thursday night and Julia's kind of like not happy about it. Because at the time, once again, Five and Sister to Sister Dog Me as well. The first show they sold
what
was Thursday.
What is with these 90s pop groups?
So I bought the tickets on the Thursday. Then they released a show for the Friday. I was already had my tickets on the Thursday. I'm like, damn it. Then they had a Tuesday show. I'm like, damn it. I feel like I love music so much, but music doesn't love me back.
I feel like you need to just like forget about concerts for okay. The heavily pregnant woman mm-hmm. and maybe do something comfortable, romantic and nice for your anniversary.
No. Because it's my anniversary too.
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
Harry Potter, let's talk about it. I was going to say, is it your generation?
Yes, we're the same age. We're peak Harry Potter fans because it came out when we were in primary school.
Did it?
Yes.
I only kind of followed it because my younger brother. So I have like a 9-year gap between my youngest brother and myself. So I followed it because he was like into it.
I remember my Mrs. McCudden, our library teacher, reading us Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone.
Oh, I don't think our school got those books.
The fancy Harry Potter books?
A bit too advanced for us in our school. And also, you know, they could be used as a weapon. So, yeah, our library was mainly just, you know.
Can I say something controversial, though?
Please.
Harry Potter went for too long.
The books, like the movies.
The books. Like, they just kept, like, for a period of time, they had a huge chokehold on us. But I got to the point where it was just dominating everything. And I was like, I'm losing interest.
Yeah. Well, the last book, I remember it was like broke all the records at the time. There was huge queues for it back when you used to actually have to line up for stuff. And yeah, it was a huge deal. Well, one of the people that was in Harry Potter, who, you know, they've all got kind of their cult followings and whatnot. She has spoke out against Harry Potter fans. Here's a little bit of it.
I worry about Harry Potter fans because they should be over that by now. It was 25 years ago and it's for children, but they get stuck in it. I do cameos and people say, oh, we're having a Harry Potter themed wedding. It's over. That's what I think.
Yeah, brutal. So that's Professor Sprout there, Miriam, what's her name, Margulies?
Yeah, also, by the way, I'm sorry, are you still not getting royalties and kickbacks from that?
She's like, getting cameos. She's getting paid to do cameos. And then she's shading these people.
Yeah, biting the hand that literally feeds you.
Yeah.
Now, don't come for Harry Potterheads because...
Potterheads.
That's what they're called, right?
Okay, I didn't know that.
Or Potterheads, I'm not sure.
I don't know. Potterheads is funny to me.
I think they're
two
different
that.
Things.
Yeah.
No, but I feel like she has kind of a point, but they're not the ones. They're not the ones to come for. They'll cast a spell. I'm sure they've got plenty of them from the books.
She's an 82-year-old grumpy person, and I don't... This is the
if
thing, right?
If it brings them joy, leave them alone. But I kind of see where she's coming from to a degree. Nothing wrong with enjoying something.
All right, here we go. Carly Cohen, Harry Potter fans.
No. Potheads. I'm just saying. Like, when you've got the Harry Potter decor in your house, like, if you've got more than 6 or 7, like, in your main lounge room, items of Harry Potter memorabilia, like, whilst I love it, but it's time to move it to maybe a back room or a pool room, maybe.
Carly, on this show, around this particular time
and
slot.
And that's more of like a decor tasting than a Harry Potter.
All right, first of all, I went to your house over the weekend. You have no say. And second of all, look, fans can do what they want to do.
Let fans be fans.
I think what this is that this boomer has discovered something and she's jealous of our generation because we're the first generation to say, hey, you know what? We actually don't need to grow up. We don't want to grow up. If we enjoyed something as a kid, we're allowed to enjoy it as an adult as well, whether it's music, whether it's our favorite movies, whether it's Lego, because Corey, who gets on the show, he's still collecting Lego. That's a bit weird. But anyway, you know, Harry Potter cards, whatever, Pokemon cards, whatever the hell it is, you're allowed to collect
like
it. You're
I
allowed
said,
to enjoy it.
I'm all for it.
Just not in the main room.
Just not in the main room. Just in a nice glass case, maybe in a back room, maybe in a spare room, you know? Your
all right.
Pop finals,
now,
they're cute.
Now you're starting to sound like Julia, my wife, and I've had a gutful. I've had an absolute gutful. I will not hide it in my room. This needs to be on display. God knows I spent enough on it.
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
Now, AI is taking over. We know this. You've got your ChatGPTs, you've got your Bing photo images creators, you've got all sorts of stuff going on. Even we saw a Photoshop with Kate.
Yes, Kate and Wills. What's going on there?
What is going on there? Well, today I thought that we could focus the attention on the Oscars. We have seen that there was a plagiarism issue that came up yesterday with one of the movies, and a lot of people during the writer's strike were kind of concerned that AI would take over their writing duties. But how good is AI at writing a Hollywood Oscar-worthy script?
Well, you'd hope not very good, because there's a lot of screenwriters here that have gone all in.
Well, that is it. But today I thought that I could take on AI in this very challenge. So let's first say hello to AI. Hello.
Hi, Alan and Carly. Alan, may I just say you are sounding great today. By that I mean great, G-R-A-T-E, like as by definition, to make an unpleasant rasping sound. Carly, your kindness illuminates the world like a gentle sunrise, spreading warmth and joy to all fortunate enough to bask in its glow.
Okay, that's enough.
All right, that's a point.
All right, so you do get to decide who
I
is
do.
Winning.
And not looking good for you at the moment, Alan.
Well, looking good on the paper, but 4-2 at the moment, I'm ahead. So take that, AI.
Not after that compliment.
Well, we'll see. So we're each going to give you just a couple of sentences, a pitch of a movie that we would like to see.
Okay, which one I would actually go to the movies and watch?
Well, which one do you think would win an Oscar?
Oh, you know, okay, you
got to get
an Oscar.
You hear the term Oscar bait, you know, all the time where it's like, oh, it involves some tragic story. Oh, it's going to have this particular element about it. Yes,
if someone's
love that.
Wearing a prosthetic nose, they're in.
They're in. Okay, I'm just rewriting my little thing now. That's a great call. So we'll let AI go first. Take it away.
Okay, buckle in, folks. In the wake of tragedy, a grieving father sets out on a cross-country journey to scatter his late wife's ashes, discovering unexpected healing and connection along the way. Through poignant encounters with strangers and breathtaking landscapes, he learns that love transcends loss, and redemption can be found in the most unlikely places.
Mm. I've seen that movie. It's got Mark Wahlberg in it.
Does it?
No, that's actually a movie. I've seen it.
Okay, that's good to know.
Bit of plagiarism from AI there. I believe it was the son's ashes, though, not the wife's.
Well, there you go. Little twist on it, maybe, to get away with it. My pitch is people love for the Oscars movies that kind of focus on the invention of something. So we had that movie a little while back with a person that created windscreen wipers and the whole legal kind of situation that happened with that and the big conspiracy behind it.
Yeah.
Then, obviously, Oppenheimer, which is all about, you know, the nuclear bomb and all that sort of stuff. So I want to take it right back to Flappy Bird. Do you remember Flappy Bird, the game?
No.
You tap the screen and they keep the bird from hitting the drains. The creator of it disappeared because they hated the level of fame. So my pitch is a movie focusing on this guy's creation and how it became too much for one man and it consumed him before he disappeared off the face of the planet. Also, he wears a prosthetic nose.
I would have had the bird wearing the nose, but anyway.
Oh, damn it.
There
are your two options.
Okay, what's the title of yours?
What goes up must come down.
Oh, that's
a Flappy Bird story.
A Flappy Bird story?
Yep.
Okay. Oh, damn. What am I watching? I do like seeing birds flap their wings.
Thank you.
But I did enjoy that Mark Wahlberg movie.
Yeah, but you've already seen it. Did that win an Oscar? No, wait.
No,
Mark
it
Wahlberg
actually
in
got
it?
Panned.
Well, there you
badly.
Go.
I'm going to say... You're bloody dead!
Yes!
No compliment or anything.
Suck it, AI. That's what you get.
Carly, I am getting sick of you siding with Alan. If you keep doing this, I will release all the footage of your driving on the internet. Oh. See you later, losers.
Okay, Alan, jeez. I'm just going to say it's not looking good for you next week.
That's very fair.
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
Hit Breakfast with Alan and Carly, and the Oscars were on yesterday, and geez, it was a buzz with some great news coming out of it, and some not so great news. But to give us the latest on everything that went on is Miley Hogan. She is the 7 News US correspondent, and she was at the Oscars red carpet for Sunrise and joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
How have you recovered? Did you party into the night?
Oh, I wish that I was out partying with all the celebrities, but no, I was up late writing my script, making sure that it went to air on time. But those after parties, guys, they are so exclusive. It's harder to get a ticket to those than it is to get a ticket to the Oscars. And there's a lot of them as well. There's the Governor's after party, which is kind of the official one where you go and get your Oscar statue engraved. And then there's the big one, the Vanity Fair after party. That's really where all the A-listers go, the who's who of celebrities. But there's also a couple of others. It's worth mentioning that Madonna had an after party as well, and Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift were there.
But Madonna's
after party has a strict no photos policy, so you will not be seeing any photos of the celebrity couple anywhere today.
Wow.
Damn, because I would totally want to see those photos.
I want to see those photos.
I want to see that gallery for sure. Miley, let's talk about
you want to see them more.
Yeah, yes.
Let's talk about the actual ceremony. Were there any off-camera moments that you witnessed that we didn't get to catch?
No, unfortunately, I'm not actually inside the Oscars. We watch it on a broadcast outside. Not exclusive enough to get on in there. But there were certainly some big moments that people would remember from the broadcast. John Cena, wearing pretty much nothing at all, came out. That will be a history-making moment. He's 46 years old, guys, by the way. So he was looking absolutely in phenomenal shape. And then how can you forget Ryan Gosling, I'm Just Ken. That performance was show-stopping, a huge moment for the Oscars, and it really will go down as one of the greatest performances in a long time.
I really, really enjoyed it. I've watched it like 3 times, and geez, it made me laugh every single time.
Well, apparently it was modelled off Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah, that's what lots of people have been saying, that it's just like the Marilyn Monroe performance, or a lot of nods to her and her performance there. It really did take over the whole stage. I loved when he came down and went over to Margot Robbie and Greta Gerwig and America Ferrera, and he joined them in on his performance. That was really great. You could see Billie Eilish in the background having a laugh as well. So a good moment for him.
And as far as controversy goes, it seems everything went relatively smoothly. Jimmy Kimmel did a great job hosting it. None of his jokes were too on the nose. One moment, however, was Al Pacino kind of jumping the gun when it came to presenting that final award.
And what an awkward moment that was. He had got up there and he really was supposed to read out all the nominees. There are 10 for Best Picture, and they have this sizzle reel ready to go, showing all the different movies and the highlights. And he just skipped straight to the end and read out the winner. People were a bit confused. Didn't know what was going on. But, I mean, it's Al Pacino. He can get away with it, I think.
I think time is money. I think he was looking at his watch and went, I should be in bed by now. It's time to wrap this bad boy up, eh?
Yeah, he was one of the last ones.
He's been going for 3 hours now. Yeah.
Now, Miley, I'm always curious. When people, like, we obviously see everyone arrive at the Oscars, the red carpet, all the photos, all that sort of stuff. When people are leaving, what is that situation like? Because, I don't know, I just imagine every time I leave a big function or something, everyone kind of bottlenecks at the exit trying to get out. Are we seeing, like, a Julia Roberts next to a Clooney next to a Brad Pitt, or just trying to squeeze out and go their separate ways?
The red carpet where you see all the celebrities come down, it's like 275 metres long, 10 metres wide, it's massive. And then it curves around to these gorgeous set of stairs which lead into the Dolby Theatre. But they pack down the carpet as soon as all the celebrities are inside. We're getting kicked, like literally kicked off. They're like, come on, we got to get this packed up and rolled down. So they kind of come back down those stairs and head to the Governor's Ball, but you don't really get much of a glimpse of them after that.
I love the idea that they're packing it up because it's got a 16th birthday to go to. They're like, all right, guys, come on. We've got another function. We need the red carpet.
Miley Hogan, an absolute pleasure chatting to you once again, the 7 News US correspondent. Thanks so much for your time today. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
That was the Alan and Carly podcast. This is it.